This is Jehudi. Today I will speak about working with your fear so that you may understand what is happening and move beyond it. In metaphysical circles on Earth now, it is well understood that there are two ways of doing things. There are two reasons, two motivations for doing things. One of them is fear, and the other is love or faith. I acknowledge that you, as a person seeking to evolve consciousness, have been exposed to these ideas, and that you have learned, at least in some way, to some degree, and on some level, how to deal with fears that you have. And many of you are practiced at this point in turning the parts of you that fear into parts of you that can have faith. And there are many techniques that you have used to do this, and I applaud you for your willingness to explore these issues. And yet, this is a unique time in your evolution. The evolution of consciousness, about which I speak rather frequently through this channel, so to speak, changes the game when it comes to working with fear and turning it into faith. The process of the evolution of consciousness is to put you more directly in touch with your true natures as divine beings. One of the side effects is that there is manifestation that happens much more quickly because of this evolution. If you choose to orient yourself towards faith, which is a loving frequency, you manifest a faith-based world, a loving world around you, much more quickly than you ever could have in the past. And if you are oriented towards fear, you can manifest at this time, much more quickly than ever before, a fear-based world around you. There is what we could call a divergence of consciousness taking place on this planet at present. And it is very easily seen between those who choose to orient themselves towards fear and those who choose to orient themselves towards faith. I will speak first about fear so that you can understand precisely what I am referring to, so that you can catch yourself with detached observation in your own patterns, so that you can become more attuned to how you experience the fears that come up within you. And all of this leading to discussing a faith-based approach, which in my vocabulary has you accepting your true nature as creative, powerful, divine beings who are choosing how your lives unfold. Beginning with fear. Fear is extremely prevalent on your planet and has been for a very long time. There are multiple reasons that this has happened. One reason has to do with the near-complete split of humanity from feeling welcomed by the Earth, by feeling connected to the Earth as the Divine Mother. You observed the natural world in its treatment of you as unjust. And you began to fear the natural world. You began to fear the earth. You began to fear weather and what natural events unfolding on the earth could do to you. You have also become organized into ever increasing numbers in societies, in cities. This collective approach to life together, even if it is not harmonious, even if it is not joyful for all involved, it is a collective approach to living together. It requires many rules. In conjunction with this, as you have separated yourselves from nature, you perceive nature to be your enemy, and that you are now living on your own in these enclaves together, these masses of people that are ever growing, and you are living in these spaces together, and you begin to fear each other, because as you have become disconnected from nature and the earth itself, you have decided that you must look out for yourselves and that nobody is looking out for you. And you transfer this essentially lack of faith in life onto the people that live in these cities with you, that live in your social structures with you. So you have, over time, been conditioned to fear each other as well. Another source of this is the kinds of religions that many of you have lived under at various times in your many lives, lived along the Earth timeline, spread out over time. You have been conditioned by certain kinds of religious thinking that have left you in fear. If you do not live in a certain way, you are sure to die in a terrible way. This kind of thing. You have become afraid of angering one god or another. You have entirely forgotten that you are God, and you have accepted the teaching from the middlemen that you have appointed to know God and to tell you who God is. You have accepted these teachings, and you are afraid of life. You are afraid of living freely. You're afraid of making choices for yourself. You're afraid of exploring your true nature. You're afraid of being free in your sexuality. You're afraid of being free to have the kinds of relationships with each other that you truly want and need. So this is another source of fear. The deeper this disconnect continues between you and the world and life and nature and the cosmos and, in fact, all other beings that are living on the earth that you are inclined to use for your benefit because you are above them, you have decided that you are elevated above them. As this disconnect deepens, you perceive you are all alone, even if there are billions of you. You wonder if there is a divine power looking out for you. You hope there is a mother or father figure who will save you, who will provide you security and safety, who will assure you that you are loved. Because you have forgotten that you are divinity. You have become trained into believing that there is somebody who should be doing something for you. And when it rather consistently turns out that nobody is doing anything for you, or that what others do for you isn't helpful or isn't healthy and doesn't support you in being free to explore and inhabit your true nature as you actually do crave to do, then you are left feeling alone. As I said, you fear death because you are afraid that you might not please one god or another. Many of you listening to this say, Jehudi does not understand how I think, because I have evolved so beyond those old religious teachings. One of my messages for you is that even as you, in this present incarnation, perhaps indeed have evolved beyond this way of thinking, you have been shaped over time in ways that are so deep that I cannot overemphasize how important it is that you remain open to what I'm saying to you today. There are parts of you from this life that have been shaped from living in cultures that are defined by these sorts of religious teachings in one way or another. And there are many other lives associated with your soul, existing in other points along the Earth timeline. And they have been shaped by these. Now, the separation between all these lives and your consciousness has been getting thin. It will continue to be thinner until you remember your multidimensional nature. Until you, in practical terms, choose to become whole, and that definition of whole includes all of the lives, or at least a great many of the kinds of lives that your soul is living all across the Earth timeline. I have said elsewhere that for you to connect to soul now, at this stage in your evolution, regarding the evolution of consciousness, means to connect to all of these parts of yourself that your soul is experiencing. It is not a one-way street, in other words. For you to connect to soul means becoming multidimensional, and that means, and will require, becoming aware of many different lives. It is not that you will remember what you were wearing in 1140s France, and what you were eating in 200 BCE Egypt. That is not what I'm saying. The emotional memories from all of these lives are what are available to you now. And indeed, as you are stirred to evolve, as you are pressed and pushed and nudged and invited lovingly by beings such as myself and others to evolve into your multidimensional nature with conscious awareness of this nature, fears that you have now are in fact shared by you and many other manifestations of your soul in various lives. The fears, in other words, that you are dealing with now, some of them stem from lives that have nothing to do with this life. You may have experiences in this life that actually are echoes. I don't know where I got that fear. I don't know why I'm afraid of that, but I am. This is sourced in an event in another life that is a manifestation of your soul into the Earth time-space dimension. As I wish to instruct you about my perspective concerning your experience of fear at this time, and I say that the speed of manifestation has increased and will continue to increase. The overlapping cycles of the Mayan long count calendar are what I'm referring to. These overlapping cycles track the overlapping cycles of the evolution of consciousness. That is what the Mayan calendar is tracking. As you listen to people who speak about this calendar, as you watch news media reports of the terrible things that are happening all over the Earth, you will find many of those speaking about 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar are speaking about what you are supposed to be afraid of at this time. And they are encouraging you to be afraid. And they say the Mayans said this and the Mayans said that. This is what it seems the Mayans knew. The Mayans knew nothing. The Mayans, quite graciously, as they travel here and there, volunteer to be messengers and scribes for everyone else who comes later. They did not understand what they were doing. They were simply being wonderful servants in support of you at this time, in fact. They transcribed this calendar. They received information from the cosmic intelligence, and they wrote it down, organized in a way that they received it. So when you hear that the Mayans predicted this and the Mayans predicted that, what the Mayans really predicted is that many people would forget teachings, and that eventually we would remember. This is what they predicted. But you will hear that you are supposed to be afraid of dramatic weather events, and you are supposed to be afraid of limited resources. And as you hear this, you might even say, oh, I'm not going to believe that. But check your vibration. Check how you receive the frequency of these fear-based messages. One thing that is true is that nobody can make you afraid of something. You can choose to be afraid of something. And you can therefore also choose not to be afraid of it. As it comes to these, in fact, drastic changes in your dimension, watch what parts of you wish to go into fear mode. Watch which parts of you want to turn that radio dial to the news, that want to turn on that 24/7 talking head, never stops news coverage of everything that is terrible about the world. The frequencies of fear that are being broadcast to you in every way, in magazines, over every conceivable form of media. All of this fear is designed to keep you in fear. My message to you today has much to do with choosing what input you allow in your life, because it will shape your consciousness. This includes people who are in your life, this includes the media, and this includes how you treat yourself and what vibrations and what frequencies according to which you live. Your motivations for doing everything and anything fall under this teaching today. The prevalence of fear is rooted in the disempowerment that humanity has felt for a very long time. As you deal with fear now, you have the choice to allow a piece of information coming into your sphere to disempower you. And you have the choice to allow a piece of information that is coming into your field support you in being alert to the frequency of what is in your field, what is in your sphere, your awareness on any given day, in any given situation with every relationship that you have and all, of all kinds. You have the choice on whether you will remain empowered. I bring this teaching to you today because you are ready to be empowered and to remain that way. You have spent so many lifetimes on the earth giving up your power in the face of what seems stronger than you. Many of you have believed that you do not have power. Many of you have also believed that you have power if you have certain resources at your disposal. the message that I bring you is of a different definition of power, is a different conception of strength. So as you deal with fear now, I wish for you to remember that some of the fears that you have in you, that you are carrying in your energy field, in your consciousness, are not from this life. And then I also wish you to understand that the fact that you carry fears from this life and from other lives can leave you susceptible to being triggered by the fear in the world around you. The time that you are entering now will be in many ways defined by how willing humans are to receive the fear that is thrown at them. You as an individual must decide what you are going to do when fear is thrown at you. There is a certain way to think of this, to look at this and to move through this that I will outline for you in these minutes of this recording. And yet I want you to take a moment now and be conscious of how ready you feel to say with conviction, I choose to be empowered. No matter what fear is thrown at me. I choose to retain my power. Even if others are throwing fear at me. The parts of you that are disempowered cannot say this. These are parts that have been conditioned over many thousands of years, many lifetimes lived at different parts of the Earth timeline, in which many things seem stronger than the self. A business concern, the government, a bully, a parent, a sibling, a tornado, debt. Death. Many, many of these lives for you spread out along the Earth timeline have been lived either fighting or acquiescing to what seems stronger. This entire journey for you has been about learning about strength through the lens of duality. I've spoken of this elsewhere, but I will go into it briefly here for this context. When one person has strength in your context, another person does not have it. In other words, there is always a winner, and there are always those who do not win. You might refer to this as zero-sum games. There is always a clear winner. Strength, money, resources, connections. These things are the tools that become bound up with strength. And these are confused for what strength is. Some of your spiritual traditions teach what true strength is. But they are viewed by many as not as useful, because they do not fit with this materialist agenda, this looking at strength through material eyes, or eyes that view material reality as the site of strength. So I'm here to tell you today that true strength is self-knowledge and self-acceptance. When you have a fear that is triggered, there is a portion of yourself that is attempting to hide. You do not want this part to come out. It could be that this part is shaped by pain of something that has happened when you were overpowered in the past. It could be that this part might actually instead respond to such situations that seem to threaten to overpower one in a way that is dangerous or inappropriate, brash or violent, socially inappropriate. The fears that you experience are either of what might happen to you, or they are what you might do. Two very clear categories. And yet they are related. Because the part of you that might do something dramatic would in fact never let something else overpower you. Each human possesses this part within the self. It is the part that is clear about survival. I am here, and I will continue to be here. I will survive. What I suggest that you do is to understand that there is no shame in being afraid of something. And yet the parts of you that are afraid are simply some parts of you. There is also no shame in surviving. And the parts of you that would do drastic things in response to the threat to being overpowered, these are also just some parts of you, perhaps even one for each. In other words, when you decide that you are not going to be strong outwardly, you shift your focus to the part of you that is prone to feeling overpowered. Now, this is a natural human response as you have lived through duality for longer than there have even been humans. As long as all of these animals have been crawling around on the earth, exploring what it is to be incarnated on earth, all of these portions of the divine intelligence, portions of all that is exploring what it means to be embodied, to be energetic beings having forgotten their true natures. This duality has been in play. You think you are strong? There is always somebody stronger. We hear this a lot, don't we? Sometimes humans tell each other this to keep them from being arrogant or letting success go to their heads. And yet this conception of power, that if you have it, do not get too confident because somebody else always has more, that is based in this dualistic conception of what power is. As I say to you, true strength, true power, is an absolute self-knowledge and utter self-acceptance. The sight of the development of strength is within you. Nobody else is involved directly. This can be problematic for some of you because you have become conditioned to blaming other people for what has happened to you that is painful. If you are the only one responsible for how strong you end up being, how powerful you end up being, it can seem, through to your conditioned mind, that you would have to release everybody else from having hurt you. Well, I do invite you to do precisely that, in fact, to understand why you have created the lessons you have created. For yourself as a divine being, having a physical, incarnated human experience, in order to learn what it is to do so, that is why you are here. As I tell you that this new conception of power will require you to take responsibility for your life, This is, in fact, difficult for many of you. But you are ready to do so. And I guarantee that there are parts of you that are ready to lead this charge, so to speak, into a new reality. And to leave behind millennia, so many lifetimes of disempowerment, of finding out that no matter how confident you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how many resources you may have, no matter how physically strong you are, there is always somebody with more of it. This is necessary for your evolution, and yet now you're ready to tap into the truth of what true power is. If you see into all the dark corners within yourself, into all the attics and basements and dark closets, if you are willing to look into all these places, and you are willing to see the totality of what you could choose to do, of what you are capable of, of all of the opinions you have, of all of the potential responses that parts of you could offer in all manner of situations, if you are willing to see this, then your relationship with fear changes drastically. Because the reason that you have fears is in many ways rooted in what would happen, you think, if somebody found that attic where part of you was hiding, or that closet, and somebody moved away all these jackets and sweaters and whatnot to the side, and if somebody went down into that basement and opened the door and found you down there, what that person would see, what would happen, who you would be seen to be, who you would turn out to be. If you take responsibility for all of these parts and accept without reservation their existence, nobody can trigger fear in you. As I said, there are two categories to this fear. One is what has happened to you, what other people have done to you that has brought you pain. The threat of the repeat of it makes you fear. What will happen to you is how I said it earlier. And the other one is what you might do in response. If you know what you might do in response, and you can accept responsibility for this part of you, this part of you will become an asset to support the parts of you that feel disempowered. Do you see where I'm headed with this? There is an imbalance because the very vulnerable and the very strong parts of you are all hiding. And when you sense fear arising in you, one or the other or both believe they are about to be discovered. As I said, there is no shame in having been hurt. And there is no shame in defending yourself. So these parts are hiding out because of a self-judgment. For in one way standing out, or one way or another, standing out, I am either, I perceive, too weak to allow myself to be seen by others. This is the vulnerable part that has been hurt. Or I am too caustic and harsh and perhaps violent to be seen by others, and so I shall hide too. Again, when you see these parts, when you take responsibility for having created all the situations that have happened to you, and you take responsibility for owning each of these parts of you, nobody can trigger your fears. Because you understand the fears. You have looked your fears in the eye, and you have said, yes, this is a fear that I have. I would actually encourage you to state it this way. Yes, this fear is a fear that a part of me does possess. A part of me does have this fear. but when these parts are hiding, and you have the fears, you identify with the fears as who you really are. One of the kinds of teachings I bring through is to support humans in connecting to what we call soul, to your true divine essence, the portion of the divine intelligence, or all that is, that has intentionally split itself off with the intention to develop individuality and then come to Earth in many lifetimes to learn about what it is to do so. I seek to connect you to your divinity. This is one of my commitments. It is a task that suits the baseline commitment that I have made, which has to do with supporting the unfolding, completion, and perfection of the divine plan, which is the manifestation experiment. Divine source, which is all of us together, splitting off into pieces in order to experience a sense of being split off into pieces. So as I seek to connect you to soul, I seek to connect you to each and every part of you that exists, whether they exist in closets and attics and basements, or in other lives associated with your soul lived along the Earth timeline. It is time that you become whole. It is time that the next phase in the divine plan, its unfoldment, be achieved. And this occurs when you admit your true nature. And this includes doing what you might call shadow work. This is what we're speaking about today. All of these fears about what will happen. There are lots of shadows that have been created. This is a psychological term you use in therapeutic circles. But it has become very widespread, so every single one of you hearing this understands what I mean when I say shadow in this context. Something you do not wish to look at. You are available to be afraid if you do not know who you truly are and accept it. When you experience fear, there is a certain frequency that you slip into, rather involuntarily. And as I've been speaking, perhaps you have said, "This Jehudi, I don't think he understands what fear is. Because when I experience fear, I'm taken over. I seem not my normal self. It takes over." Well, what I wish to offer you is that you are available to be taken over by a part of you that holds the frequency of fear. And you are available to be taken over by this part, or parts. There can be many, but all it takes is one. You do not know that they are you, and their frequency seems unavoidable. Their frequency is actually seductive, because it gives you the opportunity to release yourself of the responsibility of being cogent and aware and conscious of what is happening. And as I said, you have become conditioned over time to fear many things. You have over thousands and thousands of years, over dozens of thousands of years, become conditioned to fear so many things, to live in a state of fear, to broadcast, to live within and from a frequency of fear. You have not experienced this 24/7 in your lives, but it has been a persistent theme for as long as there have been people living. This fear overtakes you in the moment, because you are available to be overtaken. So I say to you now, choose to be unavailable to be taken over. Choose to be grounded. Choose to be conscious of what is happening in your energy field and in your consciousness, your conscious awareness. decide that you will operate your life in an intentional way. This will lead to you altering your relationship with fear. And in fact, I can guarantee you it will require going through this, if we talk about this house of your conscious awareness, your psyche, your being, and looking in all the attics, and turning the lights on, and greeting these parts of yourself, finding these closets, behind these piles of boxes where these parts of you are hiding. I was hurt, and I'm shamed, and I'm afraid to come out. Or, if I were ever hurt again, I'm afraid of what I would do. All of these parts, each and every one of these parts, will need to be met. As you understand that you can choose not to identify as these parts, you become grounded. The part of you that can walk through the house and take an inventory can become grounded. This is actually the part of you that can hear the frequency that I share with you. Your conscious mind can hear the words, but there is another part of you that can hear the frequency. And if you listen to many recordings with me, where I use this channel or others, and if you spend time in the presence of this channel or others who are bringing through this frequency that I offer you, this particular knowledge base that comes through as a frequency, as well as data and teaching and words, this part of you can adjust to the frequency that I am offering you, that I carry, that this channel has agreed to carry for you. The more you listen to these teachings, the more that you can become attuned to this frequency. What is actually happening here is that the part of you that can take in that frequency becomes grounded by being with me and by opening to the frequency that I offer. As you listen to recordings such as these several times, you hear the words. You can even trace a trajectory of the teaching from beginning to end, and you can see an arc. And yet it is the vibration that matters, and the part of you that can catalog all of the rooms in your house, in your psyche, in your energy field, in your conscious awareness. This is the part I'm speaking to. This is the part that repeated listening to me in recordings such as these becomes activated. For some of you, this will be a jarring experience. And you will say, aha, this person is channeling this being, whomever he is. And it sounds like it might be interesting. I will go check it out. You might say, oh, I've heard of this. I've heard of one of those two beings, the channel or the being who's channeled. And yes, I appreciate this. But then spend time with my vibration. And the part of you that can manage all instances of fear within you becomes grounded, becomes connected, you become rooted in that part of you. If your consciousness as a result experiences some shifts, I invite you to be gentle with yourself, as always. Be kind to yourself. Do not operate heavy machinery just after listening to recordings such as this one, just in case. We want you to be fully present when you are driving and sometimes, or operating farm equipment or backhoes or cranes and the like. But adjusting to this frequency does, for some people, take some time allowing space for the changes to take place. You will always be better off by doing so. I've just explained this to you so you can understand that. Responding to fear within you is not about strength or a lack of strength. Parts of you that are hiding, these two categories of parts, I'm afraid of what will happen to me, or I'm afraid of what I will do, what I will choose. These parts are conditioned to feel overpowered or underpowered. to feel stronger than others or less strong than others. The part of you that I speak to, and the part of you that I am supporting you in grounding now, in becoming rooted in a very solid way, that will serve you going forward, this part, can understand these truths, that true power is not about strength of any external kind. So I say to you again, true power rests in your choice to know and accept yourself on every level. And once you do this, those who throw fear at you, whether they are speaking through glass screens supplied by electricity and data signals, or whether they are sitting across from you at the breakfast table, or whether they are coming at you from the printed media, newspapers and magazines and the like. No matter where this fear comes from, you can understand that you no longer need be triggered by this fear. That it is your choice how you relate to the energy of fear. As I said, going through this house of yours requires learning about all these parts of yourself, cataloging, shaking hands with these parts of yourself, looking them in the eye and saying, I admit that you exist. It might make me nervous. I might be afraid to do so. But I can admit this. And even though you exist and you have a certain kind of reaction to certain stimuli, I'm going to make the choices about how I'm going to live. Because I've chosen to become grounded and clear about what my choices are and to live intentionally, to operate my life in an intentional manner. And the part will say, probably, I'm just glad you came. Thank you for seeing me. It's been lonely here. Very lonely here. And your relationship with fear changes. Because there are no longer parts of you that are trying to hide from the rest of everything, and yourself, actually, too. No longer trying to hide from others. No longer afraid of being found out, no longer mortified at what they have chosen or what they might choose, no longer terrified to be seen as weak simply because they happen to be vulnerable. And when you are rooted in the part of you that I speak to, and you spend time with this vibration I offer you, and you get connected to yourself as a powerful divine being from the inside out, and you choose to inhabit more of your true nature, then you see the frequency of fear as what it is. And you see the people who are throwing fear at you for what they are. I will tell you that those who are throwing fear at each other and at you and themselves are disconnected from their true natures. It may seem that they are calm and articulate, but they are feeling out of control about how their lives work. They feel fully disempowered to choose how their lives unfold. They cannot see that they are powerful, divine, creative beings, creating the world around them. They cannot see this. They cannot see that the speed of manifestation has picked up, has increased incredibly. And they cannot see that they have a choice as to whether they participate in this throwing of fear, because the vast majority of humanity is experiencing fear as all they know. And this is the mark of having accepted the conditioning over time. So, let us say that you are unplugging from the fear machine, we could say. Let us say you are responding in a healthy way for yourself, for self-care, for boundaries, for self-love. When somebody throws fear at you and you say, ah, yes, this is not something I'm going to traffic in. I'm not going to accept this. What I want you to do is to refrain from judging these other people for throwing fear at you. I want you to have compassion for them and keep in mind the truth that they do not know what they're doing because they have accepted this conditioning over time. In many ways, you have too. And as you hear this and you might say, yes, I'm actually spiritually sophisticated, Yehudi. I'm actually very savvy when it comes to these things. I want you to understand that there are still parts of you that may be triggered or triggerable by fears. So, I also want you to have compassion for yourself. Like I say, there is nothing wrong with being vulnerable. And there is nothing shameful about having been hurt in the past. This is the learning journey that humans engage in, embark upon. And what you have experienced is perfect for your learning journey. There is no shame in any of it. But you now have the choice to change your relationship to fear. As I spoke earlier about the end of the Mayan calendar and 2012, and the kinds of fears that you will hear people discussing more and more as the timeline on Earth advances towards the end of this calendar, its actual end, the doomsday scenario is very prevalent, the war over resources scenario is very prevalent, but especially these weather events. The chatter of fear is going to increase. If you decide to carry the frequency of fear, then you manifest fear in the world around you and in your body much more quickly. And while some of you might say, yes, but the fear overpowers me, the fear takes me away from who I know I really am, I would like for you to remain conscious of when this happens. Meaning, this is a part of you speaking up that is not feeling empowered about meeting your fears and processing them and turning them into faith. These parts of you that are speaking about being overwhelmed are simply overwhelmed in given moments. But being overwhelmed is not who you truly are. So I invite you to endeavor to become more grounded, to become more stable, to become more intentional and more committed to inhabiting your true nature as a loving, powerful, divine, creative being. If you do sometimes feel swept away by your fear, and this is a very common thing for humans at this time, very spiritually sophisticated, very metaphysically savvy individuals such as yourself still carry some fears. Many of you do. Again, not shameful, nothing to judge. Endeavor to become more clear. Intend to become more clear about this. How you actually do this is observe when the fear comes up. Observe what happens in your body, in your mind. Observe your emotions. Observe the left brain thought pattern contingency plan that gets kicked in gear. Well, if this happens, then I must do this, and if this is happening, then I must do that. Observe it. Watch this. Observing it ensures that you are not identifying with it. So, you don't need to commit, and it's actually perhaps not appropriate for someone to tell you you should commit to banishing this fear or getting rid of it or dropping it. That is not appropriate. We wish that you come to identify less with the fears that you do carry. So, yes, human gets swept away. This is what happens. Momentarily. Observe, commit to observing this, and you commit an act of your divine power. And in the moment when the feeling comes up and seems to sweep you away or threaten to overwhelm you, you can even send energetic cords down into the earth. You can sit with a tree and ask that tree for support and grounding. trees are never not grounded. Just a handy tip for you. Being on the grass, on the dirt, on rocks. This will help you as well. Rocks and dirt are never not grounded. They are the earth itself. These are tools for you. But observe this in the moment. Observe what happens in your system. Say, yes, that is true. There is a part of me that has this fear. I observe this and I acknowledge this. By doing that, you can ensure that you do not identify with the fear and you are not swept away. The first few times this happens, you may find it to be a little tenuous. You may say, oh, right, that being told me to remember to observe. It might not be smooth right away, but when you get practiced at it, and it may be just one time for you, it may be 3, it may be 5, 10. This is building the confidence that you have the choice about how to respond to fear. When fear can seem to threaten to overwhelm you, it is easy to think that fear is something that exists outside you, especially as you, every time you turn on a television, for example, or read a news article on a website or in a magazine, it is all about fear. And as you go out in public and you're standing in line for your incredibly complex coffee-based beverage with some kind of foam, before you go to your cubicle job, or wherever it is that you go. As you're waiting in line, you hear people talking about the latest tragedy in such and such country. And you hear them talking about what's going to happen this weekend with the terrible weather that they're expecting in the place that you live. And you become more conscious of the frequency itself of fear. And you say to yourself, I choose to observe this fear, and it does not have a place in my life. I would like to talk about this manifestation process some, as far as the speed of manifestation increasing dramatically. As I talk about this divergence of consciousness, there is a group of people that are saying, I'm going to change my relationship with fear. I've committed to coming out of fear. This kind of thing. And there are the other ones who feel that fear is something that is real, that they are subject to, and they keep behaving from fear-based motivations. Those who choose to alter their relationship with fear, and to come out of it, and to say no thank you to all sources that throw fear at them, you can just say no thank you. It is as simple as that. You, of course, must believe that you have the right to say no thank you, but you can say it. And this group of people will learn to treat themselves with more love, and to treat each other with more love. And by committing to being conscious of the two different kinds of frequencies, fear or faith, fear or love, they will change the world that they create around them to reflect this. And they will experience more faith and love. For those who continue to, I say, traffic in fear, continue to be motivated by fear and to feel overpowered by this frequency they find within themselves, by continuing to invest in the past of what might have happened and the future of what I might choose to do and what will happen to me and what I might do, as that is invested in, they will manifest fear around them in the world. They will, in other words, create reasons to prove themselves right, to prove that their fears were correct all along. Each group of people will experience clearer, more efficient, faster manifestation. One note I want to give you. While I do not do any sort of doomsday scenario in any way, I wish for you to be aware of one particular divergence between these two groups. In one group, the people who are altering their relationship with fear and choosing to say no thank you, healing can happen extremely quickly. your minds will be blown at the progress you make in things like adapting to the frequency that I offer, adjusting to it, and being able to see changes in your life through this source of metaphysical knowledge and others. And also healing wounds from the past. You will be amazed at how quickly this can happen. And from this other group that is not changing its relationship with fear and is perhaps investing in fear further and listening to the talking heads on the 24/7 news channels, as an example, but listening with great interest, listening with an investment in the fearful outcomes. This group can manifest situations that are very difficult, including perhaps health issues, manifesting physically in their bodies the fears that they carry and absorb in the world around them, that they have carried over many lives and that they carry in this life and that they absorb from sources throwing fear at them in the world around them. The vast majority of humanity has not yet learned to say no thank you to fear. I wish to say this to you because if you are somebody who is inspired to be in the first group of people, you need to be aware that the pace and the volume of complaint and the throwing of fear from the other group of people will actually increase. And I say this to you so that you can be even more compassionate, understanding that as you are attempting to create health, as you are creating deeper levels of health for yourself, let me say it this way, others are creating deeper layers of pain for themselves. I wish for you to have compassion for them because you are creating the journey that suits your soul best to learn what it is to be incarnated here, and others are creating the journeys that their souls find best. Human free will is incredibly important. It is the driving force between the evolution of soul, which in turn affects the perfection and completion of the divine plan, the manifestation experiment. So this is to say that all humans are creating the experiences that they choose to create. This does not mean that you cannot help people who are having a difficult time. But I wish for you to understand that you are continually invited, as of this moment on, to continue to say no thank you for when people throw their fear at you. One thing that happens when people throw fear around at each other, especially those they love, let us be clear about that, it is actually, in one way, a bonding experience where we are going to teach you what it is to be one of us. We are therefore going to teach you to be afraid of what we are afraid of. As you commit to changing your vibration and shifting out of some of these patterns that have persisted for humanity's dozens of thousands of year history, as you come out of some of these patterns, your loved ones may not. You may find a divergence of consciousness within your own family system. One thing that may happen in common among all people who do not alter their relationship to fear is an inability to understand what you are up to. Again, be compassionate. You might need to have better boundaries. You might need to limit some time that you spend with certain kinds of people. But you also have the opportunity to teach them about your perspective when they are open. But some of you will be inclined to want to help them even if they do not want help. And I want to encourage you to be clear about who is asking for help when, who is open when. And to understand that each being is creating his or her own experience. Yet, there are plenty of opportunities for you to assist others in incredibly important ways. There are people, I say, these two divisions. This does not divide humanity for the rest of time. What it does is, it creates separate groups of people that can then be affected by each other in new ways. And as people who say, I choose to alter my relationship with fear and say no thank you when fear is thrown at me, those people, the more committed they are to not receiving fear thrown at them and saying, oh, right, yes, no, thank you. I think that I can be in a friendship with you without receiving fear. I think that I can have lunch with you without taking on your fear of what disease you might be developing, or what I might develop, or all the things I could lose if I invest in the stock market, or whatever, all these kinds of sources of fear. As the first group of people commits to not taking it on, they will in time be wonderful, loving examples and compassionate examples for the other people who have this lesson to learn in a different way. All humans will get there. That is a part, that is a step, a stage in the perfection of the divine plan. But the learning journey for some may take a little longer and may not happen right when, technically, the evolution of consciousness has occurred. Many people will continue to evolve and need more experiences and need more teachers of the kind who say things like, "Oh yes, no thank you to that fear." So even if you do not take on other people's situations and attempt to help them directly, you can in many, which you certainly can do, but I encourage you to care for yourself and be vigilant about watching your energy expenditure, your boundaries, what you're available for, and how much fear you take on from others. Meaning, please do not do that. So you can, of course, help people directly. But there are other ways you will not help people directly, and you will simply hold space of saying no thank you to fear, and you will thereby teach people what you have learned without teachers such as yourself, perhaps. So, compassion is the key. And there will be many people who at first do not take cues about how they feel about fear frequency. So they might continue to invest until they see you one day and they say, "Cousin, brother, wife, mother, daughter, you're doing something different. What is it? What is it that you get that I don't get? I'm having these health issues. You have nothing. You love your job. You love your marriage. What am I doing wrong?" And then you can help them directly. But the power of choice is very critical here. Respect people's boundaries, in other words, and help them when they ask. Yes. You can take everything I have said thus far and extrapolate much about faith. One thing I would like to say to you, however, is that as you commit to saying no thank you to fear, and you commit to inhabiting your true nature as a divine, powerful, creative being, you move closer in conscious awareness to yourself as a divine, powerful, creative being. As you take responsibility for all that has happened to you, you learn about all the possibilities that you can create for yourself, and you see the context of how you have always been a powerful creator. And faith begins to emerge. Faith that what you have created so that you may learn what you needed to learn. Faith that all that happens to you is according to the plan you set out. All of these things teach you about your creative power and about how it is that you can live here as an energetic being in the process of remembering your true nature while embodied as a human. You then see every situation that comes to you as reflecting a portion of your energy field. And you say, yeah, I've set this up so I learned this lesson. And you stop blaming others for the pain that you experience and the confusion and the difficulty. And you say, what is it that I am to learn here? And by doing this, you continually develop faith in yourself as a divine being. Now, what follows from this is recognizing that, look at the resourcefulness that you have employed to create for yourself what you needed to learn. That is a truth, that you have created everything. When you adjust to this, when you really take this in and see the truth of why your difficult parent relationships were perfect for you, why your getting fired that time was perfect for you, why your being involved in an accident and being injured was important for your journey, you see every single thing as a creation to teach you. You then say, well, what is it that I can create for myself next to learn that would be perhaps more joyful and less difficult? And you begin to employ your creative choice as a divine being, your free will, which is your power, in a more conscious way. And you always, when you do this, are increasing your faith in yourself as a divine being. And your faith in the structures that you as all that is, that you as this collective of pieces of the divine intelligence have created for yourselves and have agreed, have signed up to teach each other about. So you develop faith in the process that you have set up for yourself, individually and as a collective. When you are confused by fear, and you have these moments when you feel overwhelmed by it, and somebody says to you, oh, that's, yeah, I know what that is. You need to just have more faith. Well, the parts of you that are locked in fear simply cannot do this. Think about what it has been like for you when you were having a great deal of fear and somebody says, hey, just pray that stuff out. How have you reacted to that? Perhaps you have not heard that. The channel Seth has heard that several times. And his response is, I don't know what you're talking about. That makes no sense to me. Because the part of him that is afraid cannot have faith. So we have spent a great number of years and months and hours and days sitting with me. And this is why I'm coming through his vocal cords and his vocabulary and brain to you now, and why this is being recorded, so that you can spend time with me as well. So that this part of you that can be grounded, this part of you that can be rooted and rested in the truth of why things happen, can come to the forefront and become the part of you that you identify with, so that you can see with clarity what is truly going on with the parts of you that carry fear. I wish to say also that these parts do not go away. The important thing to do is to become closer and more closely identified with the part of you that knows the difference, that can observe the fear when it comes up, the part that I speak to and seek to anchor. Again, there is no shame in having been hurt. There is no shame in fear. But the more fear that a human carries, the less capable he or she is of loving. Observe the part of you that can accept the perfection of the divine plan. Get to know this part. Spend more time with me and beings like me that are committed to your evolution and that help you anchor in new states of consciousness, and help you discern what it is that's going on, and point out to you what choice you have in any given moment. These are the beings that support you in furthering your development, your evolution, and your ability and willingness to inhabit yourself as the divine being that you are. About this choice you have, again, it is in every moment you have a choice. How will you respond to fear? How will you respond to love? I've spoken thus far about this love side of things in terms of faith. When you have faith, you are in the process of opening. When you have fear, you are in the process of closing. Observe your body. Do you open? Do you contract? Observe your shoulders. Are they forward, attempting to close a space over your chest, over your fourth chakra, your heart center? Or are they in a normal position? Are they back, showing your heart simply, without drama, having your heart be available to the world in front of you? Most importantly, observe your minute-to-minute reactions to fear and to love. Choose to respond in an open way to love, in all the forms it comes to you. And choose to be clear about what is love and what might be love that kind of has a core of fear. Your radar is very good for this. You are, after all, a human. Your radar is very good at this already. It's simply a matter of you choosing to observe this and choosing to trust it. But you are already getting all the time information on what is love and what is fear. And everybody who you come in contact with, does this person make me feel open, better, warmer, or does this person not? Some of your relationships will change as you learn to discern this. And for those of you who have already done so, these relationships will already have changed. Some of them slowly, some of them you will give some time, some of them you will just adjust or truncate outright. Some of them you will, in other words, edit out of your lives. So your task on a day-to-day basis is to be committed to discerning what is love and what is fear, where it comes from. And every time you encounter love, appreciate it, be loving in return. And every time you encounter fear, say, I'm not taking this on. I choose to be free of this. No, thank you. And be compassionate. And remove yourself if necessary, but be compassionate. Because judging anybody will take you into the space of fear, will alter a love frequency into a fear frequency. So you can remember that you have the right to say, no, thank you. And I can remove myself from this situation. I choose to remove myself from this situation. Exercise this choice on a daily basis. Maintain conscious awareness of what is happening around you. Observe your inclinations to respond, and then make the choice that works for you in response. And you will alter your relationship with fear. Continue saying, no thank you, when you meet it. It is that simple. No thank you. And you will inhabit more your true nature, as a divine, powerful, creative being, expressing free will, moving away from fear, moving into love. Thank you.